Amen. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord, and to know that you reside in us and all the blessings that you had while you were on earth, you gave to us. We have everything that you had, we've got it. And we thank you for it, Father. We just have to read the word and find out what it is and walk in it. And Lord, we thank you for giving us a love in our hearts for each other. That's your love, your heart. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in all of us. And we thank you, Lord, that as we go out, we see people that are in need, that your power is available. It will bring them into that realm of knowing you, Lord, that your glory would fall upon them, heal them, bring them into the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for placing it in each and every one of us, to as we walk out into the world, that we would pray that you would bring somebody that you want to bring into the kingdom right next to us, Lord, so that we can share the gospel with them, share the power with them, show them what a good God is all about. We praise you, Father, for doing that, because I know the days are coming that many people are going to be seeking you because of all the things that are going on around them, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for getting us ready for that time ahead, that love and that grace that you had, Lord, that we have now, because we're overcomers. We're overcomers because of your grace and your faith that you've placed in us. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful group of people that I'm associated with here, that I get to be with at least twice a week and sometimes more. And I praise you, Father, for allowing us this opportunity to get to know one another, because I know we're going to have a party when we get up there with you, Lord. We're all coming together, and that love will just permeate each other. Now, thank you, Lord, that tonight your anointing is going to be upon everyone here, that love anointing, because we have the anointing. The anointing is you. We have everything that we need already. We just have to access it. And Father, thank you so much for being our God. In Jesus' name, bless us all tonight, Lord, as we bless you with our words, Lord, that we speak only as an oracle of God. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I'll tell you something's happening now. Something's going to happen tonight. Y'all watch what I'm telling you. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, I have a son. He's got like 101 questions. And I just would like prayer to be led by the Holy Spirit, that he would always remind me and give me a good answer to give him. Because it's like I'm being grilled about the Bible, and it's nice and it's wonderful. It's just I want to make sure that the Lord is speaking through me each time, and I just need I need prayer for that.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Andrew to you, Father. We thank you for all of those words in the word that you have given Andrew, that he would be able to recall at the right time. You would anoint him with your wisdom, Lord. You said your Holy Spirit would bring those things to mind every time we needed it. And I believe you're going to do it for Andrew as well, Lord. And I praise you for giving Andrew the wherewithal to minister to his son, and bringing him up and showing him, Lord, your word and your will in his life. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And Lord, we thank you for a lot of grace in Andrew. toward his son in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, Dave.
There we go. Yeah, my daughter started working a couple weeks ago because she's starting to back in the workforce and using her degree. She's a bachelor's of social work. So she's working in a pretty nice, good Christian place, you know, a good place for women to work. Small office area, which is good. But she's driving back and forth to work now 5 days a week. And now she got my wife's old van. And it's got over 250,000 miles on it. And so it's starting to have problems, you know. And I'm thinking it might have one of the, you know, it's got the front axles. One of the axles is bad. It's got the gears and all that. It's got the boot on it. So I'm at a point where either we'll see how much that costs to get fixed or get her a different vehicle. So looking for the Lord to give us direction on that as far as clear view. Because, you know, Dad wants to be done with this stuff. The kid's done, get him on the road, whatever it takes. I got to get her a car, fine. But, you know, I want Dad to be get this done. And so, anyways, that's where I'm at. So, Father, thank you. And I'm going to ask for everybody to agree that, you know, this process gets done quickly. And whatever we need to do, if it's fixed the van, it's not worth much anymore. I don't know why I put much money more into it. This guy a lot of problems, or get a car. So give us your path here. If it's a new car, different car for, have it just come right out. And we know that's it. If it's fixed the van, we know that's it. Thank you, Father.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Geneva. I think that's you.
It's me. I was just going to say, without going into much detail, if you all could just kind of pray for my healing, because I know, you know, after you have a baby, there's several things that come into place. So I've been kind of struggling a little bit. So if you all could just pray that my healing is quick and that I'm not as sore and things, I would appreciate that.
One of you women want to take that? Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you, Father, for the weakness of a new mother. Thank you so much for that weakness, Lord, because it is in that weakness that your power is made perfect. We speak healing into every cell of Geneva's body right now. We pray restoration over her being, body, mind, and soul. I rebuke all lingering spirits that are trying to torment my sister in Christ now in the name of Jesus. You go, you have no place there. She's walking under the covering of Jesus, the mighty blood covering of the King of Kings, and she's walking in the light that she's been given. No evil will befall her. Thank you, Father, for giving her peace. Thank you for increasing her faith. And thank you for the manifestation of this healing. We do not tarry. We do not wait. We accept it now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. I just believe with Claire all of that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Rick, see you all tonight. I was gonna ask for a prayer request. I had my eval last week. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Done. Here we go here. Maybe this is better.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was I had my eval last week. Obviously, I knew they probably the company's they made record profits. I mean, they scattered records because they're doing warehousing for Amazon and you name it. Well, I didn't get much of a raise. And I anticipated it. It was pretty low on everybody's behalf. And I'm not upset about that. I'm not asking for I'm not even, that's not my prayer request. But what I want to pray about is, man, I'm just getting so much responsibility anymore. It's like it just keeps coming and coming. You know, and I received a project from somebody who quit the company. So now I'm stuck with whatever they were doing that I don't know about. There hasn't been much paperwork or anything turned over to me. And so I'm finding out that there's a lot of things that hadn't been done. But here's the kicker, is my boss is kind of getting mad at me and taking it out on me. But he's the one who issues the work, and I've been on other projects that he's assigned me to, on other people's projects, and I can't work on my own. So today he was just, you know, I was filling him in on what's going on and what needs to be done, and order entries and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, he kind of gets on to me. He says, well, everybody else's issues, I knew about them in January, but how come you're just telling me? And I so bad wanted to say, well, because I wasn't even assigned to this project till like I was assigned to other projects the last few months, and this is my very first week working on this project. But I didn't say it. I really wanted to. I just said got it, you know. And so just pray for me, man, because he's a Muslim fella, and he knows I'm a Christian. And whenever I have my laptop open, it's got a picture of Jesus on it on my home screen. It's a really good picture that I really like. He stands opposite side. I don't think he can stand it. But anyways, he's been kind of hard on me. Just, man. And there's, I don't know, kind of done with this, but I know I need to keep on because I got a cross to carry here. Pray for me. Sorry, it's long-winded, but just pray for me to bear that cross patiently, even though it does feel like a strange thing. I know it's not. It's just what needs to happen. But nonetheless, still got that joy of the Lord, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Amen. Well, Lord, we do. We lift up Isaac to you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, you're making him an overcomer. With all these flesh killers around him. And we praise you, Father, for doing that, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're working patience in him, grace in him, and love in him, regardless of what happens and comes against him. And we thank you for it, Father. But we do, right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind the demons that are working in this supervisor of Isaac's. And Lord, we thank you for backing off a while and giving Isaac a break. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening Isaac's spiritual man, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this that Isaac's going through. And I pray, Lord, that this boss, this Muslim, takes notice of the of Jesus shining forth in him, and is puzzled by the fact that, you know, he doesn't defend himself or lash back or whatever, and just brings to the point where he just can't help but ask any kind of question that would lead Isaac the opportunity to speak the gospel, or whatever it is you lead him to say, Lord, at the time, that would be just an opening of introducing you to this man, Lord. However that is, Lord, just ask you to give Isaac much wisdom, Lord, and just pray and believe that this this man will repent and believe in you, Lord. We ask you to grant him repentance, Lord. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're shining forth out of Isaac in a way that this man has never seen out of any other Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Let that Muslim come to Jesus, being a real religion, Christianity. All right, Dave, go ahead.
I like to just pray that his boss, I don't care if he's a Muslim or not, but Lord, you give him a spirit of understanding, wisdom in this situation, that he can see and understand what Isaac's up against and what the true work is about how, you know, he's taking on responsibilities from other people, and they were the ones that were not getting the job done. It's not Isaac. Isaac's just picking up the pieces and trying to make this all work out. That he understands that and realizes what Isaac was given, so he can give Isaac a break. So he is a better boss and more of a helper, and come in and help him rather than criticize him. I ask that in the name of Jesus. You give him that spirit, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Ray or June.
Personally, I don't see any fault in Isaac expressing himself the way he wanted to and said he didn't. Of course, if somebody's going to be speaking in anger or being controversial, that's not an answer. But sometimes it's important to express your deepest feelings, you know, in a way that hopefully would be received in the right spirit. Obviously should be if the other person is of right mind. I just think there's a place of it being honest with someone else without being offensive.
Okay. All right. Let your spirit lead you. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Judy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray for Isaac too. Father, I thank you for the persecutions that you're allowing our brother to go through. And I pray, Lord, your grace be upon him to endure it, Lord, and that he would take this as a sign, Lord, and knowing that the glory of God rests upon him during this time, Father, and that he just rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is his reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets, which were before Isaac. And I pray blessings on him, Lord, that he will be able to do the work supernaturally, Lord, by your grace that has been loaded upon him, Lord, that he is able to rise above the situation, Lord, by your grace and your strength, and that you give him the ability to pray and intercede for his supervisor, for the manager over him. And Lord, I also pray that for this man, Father, that you will bring it to his attention, Lord, if there's any correction he needs as a supervisor in his role of being fair and impartial. And we just bind up all these spirits that are taking that initiative over Isaac and being unjust. And we ask for humility there, Father, and your blessing on him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, right. June.
A few things are coming to my mind here regarding the situation. And I think first and foremost, I've seen in the past managers, supervisors coming hard on people.
That, your audio is not very good.
It's not good. You can't hear me
now. That's much better. That's much better. You were too far away from it, I guess.
All right. Sorry about that. Let me get my thoughts back together here. Supervisors and managers sometimes come hard on people that are very have a lot of ability, and that they do that because they know they can, they understand within themselves that this individual is very capable, and sometimes they want more out of someone that is very, the word is capable again, but, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And sometimes this is one of the situations that occur in business as well, where someone who has capability and demonstrates this finds that they are under subjection because of their abilities as well. So all in all, I think this is a positive sign. And I think that's what I wanted to say, and pray to the Lord that indeed that the supervisor realizes that there's tremendous potential here and a lot of positive things are going to come out of what's happening right now.
Amen. Could be. I've experienced that also, Ray. All right, go ahead, Pat.
I want to pray for Isaac as well. First, though, I wanted to kind of hit me when Andrew was talking about so many questions coming from his son and whatnot. And I thought of this scripture that the Lord gave me today because I was praying specifically about my own situation, which I was going to bring up as a prayer request, and I just got derailed. But anyway, so I want to bring up the scripture and just and apply it to Isaac's situation and Andrew's situation. And it's the very first verse in the Bible, and it's the Lord, as he looked out over the earth, he said, and the earth, matter of fact, let me just read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And if you look up those words, and the earth was waste and void, it means formless or without structure and scattered. And the reason I asked the Lord about this morning for my own purpose or request was that the message that I'm going to give next week is, it's like there are 1,000 thoughts scattered all over, and everything is just scattered, and it seems like it's random. And so I asked the Lord about it, to focus my train of thought into a progression. And he brought me to this verse, and it is a verse that said that God creates the chaos, the disorder, everything out there, and he does it for a purpose, because the very next thing he does, and because of that chaos and disorder and randomness and without structure, it is dark. It's darkness. It leads to darkness. And so the very first thing that God created was light. And he sent forth that light in there to create order. And that random, and put that randomness and start to put structure to everything and put order to everything and bring order out of chaos, etc. And that was just the feeling that I was, feeling today, this morning, related to this. And so I guess my prayer is, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would thank you for the truth and the light, that you shine in the dark place, in the unknown place, to separate the darkness from the light, to bring order out of this chaos. And Lord, I know that Andrew's son has a lot of questions, because he's entered into a new realm and a new awareness of you, and there has got to be massive confusion and disorder in that process, Lord. But I just speak into his heart into Andrew's mind light tonight, Lord, that you are our light. You came into the world to light each and every man that came into the world, because you are the light of the earth, and you've given us responsibility to bear that light and to give that light out. And so, Father, we trust you for the light that you put in Andrew, and that you will separate the darkness and the disorder in his son's life as needed and as required. And Lord, we realize that there's some confusion, there's some disorder there, and it's there for a purpose, Lord, that you give him the desire to sort through it himself, to seek you, to wade through the wasteland of confusion and find that light that you provide him, Lord. And we thank you for that. Father, just lead him to the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit, that he can receive your perspective and your light through Andrew and through every word that you give him through the scripture. And Father, for Isaac, I thank you, Lord, that you bringing him into this through this process. Lord, I just ask that you would give him your supernatural ability to discern and just to bring order out of that chaos that he has received. Lord, that you would bring order and bring understanding and bring a flow of information and truth and reveal the things that need to be revealed, that he can quickly put these things together, put them in order, and start to solve and resolve the issues and the problems. And Lord, I thank you that you're doing this in a supernatural way, that you're going to strengthen him by your perspective, and you're going to give him your view on these unfinished tasks that remain out there. And thank you, Lord, for your grace, for it's by your grace and your divine influence upon our heart, Lord, that we move and that we make our way through this process that you've given us. We thank you for your Spirit that you've given him to guide him into all truth, and we praise you and thank you for it and trust you for your salvation in this situation for Isaac and Andrew both. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Anything else? Anybody else?
Yeah, Isaac, you know, it's really a blessing, brother. This is why, you know, the Lord instructs us to give him thanks through the good and the bad, because there's also time where my approach would come in my life for a situation or circumstance that would happen, which would reveal things that are in my heart. You know, the fiery trials, so that I can see and pray and have them move. I don't know about any of that with your situation, but I mean, my life, you know,
William, your audio is indistinguishable now. Sorry.
How about that?
That's better.
Anyway, brother, I just bless you and declare that you have the victory, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe.
This is difficult. Michael, I have to confess something. I don't want to go into detail, but I did talk to you and Dave Nelson a couple of years ago, but I'm struggling with. I did get into the flesh over this weekend. Just want to confess that. I already confessed it to the Lord, but I just want to confess it here. Yeah, I don't want to go into detail. You just pray for me for that peace, John.
Amen.
I'm not going to flesh, please.
Okay, well, you've confessed it. You're sanctified just like you was before. So, praise God. You're just as holy now as the most holy person. because you have confessed it. We thank you, Father, for Joe's wanting to be right, overcoming, and we praise you, Father, for it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Joe with that overcoming power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you are. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Samuel. You need to unmute, Samuel. I can't, we can't hear you. Oh, it's Tiana. There you go. Can't hear you. We can hear you, but it's inaudible. Yeah, you might turn your video off or just use your audio. Y'all are headed somewhere. Y'all going to the beach?
Why is the audio bubble right now?
There it
Hi,
is.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
You
gotta
yes, get out of the thing and go back on.
Yes, we can hear you. Okay. Lord, we thank you for. Okay. She's going to type it in the chat again. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
I want to explain something first. I'd like some prayer, and then I have a couple things to share also, I guess, and pray. Today, when I was sending my mom and dad something in the mail, I was preparing it. It was something that the Lord showed me that he wanted me to do. And one thing that the Lord put in my heart to talk to my parents about was to go one weekend a month and help them do stuff around the house, cleaning, whatever it is they need help with. And I, you know, it was like, there were just, I wasn't sure, you know, there were things that were said or whatever happened or whatever. Long story short, that made me think that, well, maybe I wasn't hearing from the Lord correctly. And so I'm like, Lord, I'm pretty sure, you know, I wasn't going to ask the Lord for a confirmation or whatever on this, you know, because I was sure that's what he said to me. But because of some other things, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just asking you to confirm to me. I believe this is what you told me. So he gave me three heads for a yes. Anyway, so I was in the midst of doing sending my mom and dad something in the mail and all of a sudden I realized that my knee was feeling a lot better because, you know, I know it's healed. It is healed. I have a healthy knee and I keep confessing that and everything. And so I went out and I took a walk today and I was like, just praising and thanking the Lord, you know, because I was debating whether or not to go out and take a walk, you know, and it was like, I know the enemy was trying to discourage me because, you know, and I was casting it down, like the enemy was saying, like, well, you know, with your knee the way it is, how are you going to go and help your mom and dad do all these things, you know, blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, I was just like casting it down. And like I said, the next thing I knew, I think because I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do and I was casting this down, my knee felt better. So I went out and walked and it was the best walk I've had in a while. You know, it felt so much better and didn't really pain me very much at all. You know, just a little bit, you know, it's healed, it's healthy, you know, but then like after the fact that it got really stiff, and it didn't really like hurt per se. It's like the pain is like minimal, but it's now like it's got inflamed. And I'm like, I just want you all to, I would like prayer, Michael. I want you all to, you know, just tell the enemy to just cut it out. He's not gonna win. Just let go of my knee. You know, it's healed. I'm not, you know, it's just like, get off my knee. So I'd like some warfare for me on that behalf, and anyone else, you know, Lord, anyone else that has the enemy that just keeps coming at them, you know, about the same thing, and you're confessing, you know, and Lord, I ask this to be a prayer for all of us, Lord, and we know that we're healed. Jesus was healthy. We are healthy. He became a curse for us. You know, by his stripes we're healed. You know, we knew all those verses. We believe them and we're confessing them, and the enemy has got to go. You know, he's just so we're just fighting together, and we're just commanding this to go in Jesus' name. So, Michael, you wanna pray for us all? Give the enemy the what for? We're all gonna give him the boot.
Okay. All right. Get out of there, enemy, right now in the name of Jesus. Get off of her knee. And don't you never, ever, and I don't mean maybe, don't you come back now another time on her knee in Jesus' name. We know who we are. We know who you are. You're under our feet, so get gone in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for complete healing in her knee right now. In Jesus' name, pain, go. In the name of Jesus. Any kind of discomfort, go right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because we know it is done by the amen. Blood of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
He said it. I believe he said it is done. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. He's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. He said it. I believe it. It is done. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Praise
you. Amen. Ray, let me go ahead and get Tiana and Samuel right quick. They've got a chat that says, sorry, we would like prayer for we're about to see some family members and be in agreement with us that they will be peaceful and loving and that the demons won't gang up against us and try to argue or force us to do something we don't want to do, and that they won't treat David like a toy, and that they will be respectful and loving towards him with no lust, etc., no witchcraft, mind control, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, we can do that. Y'all ready? We're going to do a little warfare for Samuel and Tiana. In the name of Jesus right now, we bind up every spirit that will want to come against Samuel and Tiana when they go visit the family. We bind every one of you up in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for peace in that household. While they are there, they walk in, demons go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the light that you have put on them. And we praise you, Father, that when they walk in, the devils have to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, this is going to be the best time they've ever had with their family. And we praise you for it, Father, for peace in this meeting that they're going to have in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray wisdom upon Samuel, what to say and what to do in each situation, because it's going to be an awesome day for them. And we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We thank you, Father, that you are in them. And you are greater than those that are in their family members in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for a great and wonderful time that they're going to have with their family. This time, we declare and decree it by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Just go ahead and pray. It's done. It is done. You've got peace, brother and sister. Praise God. Amen. All right, go ahead, Ray, or June, or both.
In reference to Missy's prayer, I remember seeing a picture of our brain, and what it was showing were the nerves in the brain that resembled branches of a tree. And the point this person was making is when we have thoughts that are not wholesome or that are not positive, the branches actually fold in those nerves and they look like they're dying. And then when we're thinking on a more positive note, it becomes alive again, those branches spread out healthy. So my thought for Missy, my prayer is, Missy, every cell in your brain is filled with joy, knowing the Lord has given you the ability to help your parents who have a need, and you will be there for them. You will bring joy to them. You will have the joy within you, enveloping you and shooting forth from you. And that I'm asking the Lord to rejuvenate every cell in your body for his glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Lord, to multiply that for everybody else too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Debbie.
I guess I'm going to come in those prayers too. And I agree for everybody, the same as Missy is, for our health and anything we have to do with our times with our families. God's going to bless those times. And I've had a struggle today with my knee. I had many years ago when I had Beulah, a long time ago, I had a blood clot, a superficial blood clot, but it was pretty big. I was in the hospital with her and I was in there a couple of days longer because of this blood clot. And so that spot on my knee now, every now and then on those veins in there, it wants to act up. So on the inside of my left knee. And so then today it really started. It usually just goes away. I rebuke it. It goes away. I don't receive it. But it's been really fighting back today. And so I want a prayer, just agreement for that. I can pray, but I just want an agreement. I'm going to agree that I don't receive that either. And I'm also going to my family, to my kids in Colorado tomorrow morning. And so there's some things that could come up. I've already had prayer with the people here, you know, on a morning meeting and other times. And just throwing that out there again too for agreement with all you guys that they'd be peaceful and they would just love me being there with them, and that no questions would come up that I don't want brought up. Some serious things that, you know, regarding Danny and other things, and they would just be, they just want to just love one another and love me and have a good time together. So want any kind of tension to arise, and I just am standing against that too. So Lord, I just pray with my brothers and sisters here, Lord, and agree, Lord, that I am healthy too, Lord God, and there is nothing wrong in my knee. There is no clotting going on there, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke and bind it, and I bind any spirits that want to begin to try to put thoughts in my children's minds and hearts and questions in their heads, and we just command all that to cease in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you just block all those thoughts, Lord, and that they would just decide they just want to have a good time, Lord, and don't want to bring up any questions and talk about anything sensitive and hurtful, Lord, that would be to have criticism to it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just thank you, Lord, for a good time, Lord. So just praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness to all of us, Lord. Healing our bodies and answering our prayers, Lord, and helping us and our families, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree with Debbie in every point there. We thank you, Father. It's going to be a peaceful time. The knee is healed, and she's all of these difficult questions will not be brought up. Lord, we thank you, just like we prayed this morning, that you take it out of their minds in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for an awesome time with Debbie's house with her family in Jesus' name. Amen. It is done. Y'all believe it? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Michelle.
Yes, I'm definitely in prayer and agreeing with everybody for healing and peace and just the kingdom of God to come. And I wanted to ask too, for me, jump in here too. I got a client I had to confront who was angry, abusive, and he's on the warpath against me now. Really just very angry because I spoke the truth, that his behavior there was an anger issue there. And so, it's the second time in a month where I've had a client of mine where I had to address, you know, speak the truth in love. Like there's an anger issue we got to look at. And I've never had this happen. I'm years now. In the last month, I've had two people come against me. So I just would really appreciate prayer. I trust God. I think of the scriptures, like, you know, he's my defender and every tongue that rises up against me, you know, I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry about my reputation. And really just that I would walk in peace. And that if I could just have some prayer of agreement with you all that.
Amen.
Cover this. I'd really appreciate that so much.
Okay. Well, Lord, we represent you here. We are you on earth. And we thank you, Father, that we are not going to do anything that would be detrimental to our likeness of you. And we thank you, Father, for bringing that overcoming power in each one of us to speak the truth when it needs to be spoken and to keep our mouth shut when it needs to be shut. And we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know when and where. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Michelle is doing exactly what you want her to do. And we praise you, Father, for giving her wisdom, overcoming power, and we thank you, Lord, for killing any flesh that might be there through these outbursts. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Ray and June.
Every time we speak in truth, we're blessed. And I pray, Lord, that Michelle would receive that in her spirit so deeply. That each time she speaks the truth and is not compromising as to what is actually going on, but she just shares it as she knows it to be, that she is blessed immensely and is blessing others. Because even at first, if somebody comes against what you say, Michelle, you know, the Lord can bring it to their memory to have them reconsider, you know, and come to a higher level. So we just praise you, Lord, that you have given Michelle even the ability to speak as she does. And we just pray that she's strengthened in her spirit not to shy away from the gifting you have given her in the name of Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, Judah.
I'd like to pray for Michelle, too. Heavenly Father, we lift up our sister to you, and we just pray your peace be upon her. We bind up the spirits of witchcraft coming against her, anger, resentment, jealousy, bitterness, competition. We bind up also the spirits of fear of man that may be attacking Michelle. She does not have to worry or prove herself. Lord, that you are her shelter and her defender. And Lord, I pray that you give her peace, your leading, your guidance, your long-suffering and patience, humility, love, and temperance, Lord, in these situations, Lord, and that she knows that she is safe. And you just fill her up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that she's just rejoicing in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. If y'all will give me a couple of minutes, I want to try to encourage everybody. Lord's really been seeing some stuff. What's the matter? What are y'all laughing about? No. We're fine, Dave. Just give me a couple of minutes and I'll turn you loose here. You know, we represent Jesus on the earth today, and how we function today on earth is how Jesus functions on the earth today, because we represent him. He is in us. When he was on earth, he represented himself. Now he has us. He's the head. We're the body. And if we don't function as Jesus functioned, then Jesus is not able to function as he functioned. Why? Because we're his body, like I said a while ago. The fullness of him that fills all in all. And that means that everything he had, we have. Everything that he had to work with, we have the same thing to work with. God does not expect us to do the same and greater, he said we do, and greater as Jesus with less equipment than what he had, right? And that means what Jesus had, we have. Our house, this house, this temple, ought to represent Jesus, as just like an embassy does in a foreign country. We bring a piece of that country down here where we are. And there ought not to be nothing in our house that would not represent him. In other words, we need to be in Christ all the time, walking in Christ, talking in Christ, doing the things that Christ did. When you understand, when we all understand who we are in Christ, I'm going to tell you something, the Bible's going to start. And we're going to see a lot of stuff. And it's I've seen pictures of it, little pictures here and there, spiritually speaking. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is alive on earth today in us. And he's going to utilize all that wants to be utilized. When you get full of Christ, you're going to do it. And Jesus, well, you can do it now. Listen, the newest Christian has the same equipment as we have, those that have been in Christ for quite some time. So don't think that you're out there that you have lack, because you don't. You got everything. When he came to us, he brought all his stuff with him. And we can do and talk and act and love just like Jesus, because he loves us and he wants us to represent him on this earth. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Yeah, Missy.
Well, on that note, I have a testimony that I'd like to share. Yesterday, I was out on a walk, and I went over to the park close here, and as a walking path, and there was this woman walking in front of me, and she had two dogs, and the one dog looked like a dog that I used to have. Anyway, I struck up a conversation with her, and come to find out, she's a hairstylist, and she hasn't been doing it real long. And I'm trying to bring out the main highlights, the most important stuff, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I was like, wow, you know. And I sensed that she was, I had this sense of that she was a Christian at one point. Highlights. Anyway, and she mentioned about, you know, we were walking up this hill and she was a little short of breath, and she's 35 years old. And she said, she mentioned about that she smokes, and she was talking, you know, quite a bit, and I didn't get in there, you know, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for her, you know, and about this smoking, and the way she talked, I could tell she wanted to quit. She said she smoked since she was she was this could be a lot longer, stop it.
And well, we're just waiting on David.
Anyway, so anyway, I went around the walking path twice. I usually only go once and go out, and because the Lord showed me that he wanted me to keep walking with her. So I got to a point where I said, you know, let's go back to the smoking thing. And I said, you know, Jesus can deliver you from that. And she looks at me and she goes, yes. She says, and she just started getting emotional and started tearing up. And she just right away started telling me about this encounter she had with the Lord when she was seven. He sat there on her bed and held her hands and said, everything's going to be all right. And she said she saw these stairs going up into heaven, and she went out and she told her mom this just with tears running down her face. And she was telling me with tears running down her face, and I was getting all sappy and everything. And I was just like, wow, Lord. And so I prayed for her, and she had a dog that had some kind of cancer or whatever. And I prayed for the dog too, and got exchanged information with her. Name is Jess. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for that encounter, Lord. I've been asking you, you know, I want to do more of what we've all been, Michael's been encouraging us to do, and I know is all in our hearts, and just asking for that boldness, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us that boldness, Lord, and wanting to be aware whenever we're out to out and about other people, and making us aware of your leading and you're guiding us and directing us, Lord. And I just I thank you, Lord, for blessing Jess with deliverance from smoking, Lord, and healing her little doggy. And I just ask you to be with her and watch over her and protect her and keep her, Lord. And just draw her ever closer to you and into your word, Lord, and that she would know you in a deeper way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And
amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead, Phil.
Hi, everyone. We recently prayed for my aunt. She was in a coma, and we all thought she was gone, and she's awake today. She woke up and she's sitting up in her bed.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't know the details. We don't know exactly, you know, what the report is, but we're just going to believe that she's supernaturally healed. She's not going to forget how to walk or use the restroom or any of that. She's just going to get up and go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for waking her up. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome, Lord. Praise God. Yeah, we have an open heaven, Lord, and we know that when we pray, God's going to do so. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I have for your theological enjoyment tonight one of God's gifted theologians, one Dave Nelson from up in Tundra Land. We thank you, Father, for anointing Dave to say and to do, to explain the things that you have him to do tonight, to say tonight, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, he's going to be a blessing, and we're going to be blessed because of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you for the prayer, Michael. Again, Lord, guide us through this, guide me through this, and we pray your spirit on this, not mine. And thank you for allowing this to happen so we can all come together and share in your word in the name of Jesus Christ. My subject tonight was going to be on a little bit of the gospel, not the whole gospel, because there's so much to cover on a whole gospel message. So whenever you attack and go after a message on the gospel, you can only really share a little bit. There's the gospel is pretty vast. Depends on where you want to take it. And I feel always very comfortable going to Romans when I want to go over some of the things with the gospel and some of the stuff you people know already. But it's good to have a reminder of what we receive from the gospel and what why God had to give it to us, why God had to give us a gospel message. And so I'll start this out in Romans, and I'm going to start, and I think Michael might have sent out what I was going to talk on. And I might go beyond a half hour. I'll guarantee you. I'm hoping I don't, but it may go there. So if you guys got to leave, I understand that. So it starts in Romans 1:16. He says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It says, for there is revealed a righteousness of God from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so it's a very important message here. God's very interested and concerned about righteousness. He's very concerned about his righteousness, so much so that the gospel has to have the righteousness of God in it. And it has to be given to us. And it's revealed the righteousness of God in the gospel. And the way he does that is through our faith. And he reveals it from my faith, your faith to me, and back and forth. It's always shared. That gospel message is shared amongst us. But what is righteousness? What does he mean by that? Righteousness is observing God's divine laws. Righteousness is the laws of the kingdom for men. Righteousness is one who's approved of by God, and it's acceptable by God by being holy and innocent. Righteous is integrity, virtue, purity of life. It's correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. So this righteousness of God has to be given to us in the gospel. And Paul, the way he explains it and shows it, and the way the Lord shows it, is he has to show you what righteousness is not first. Because many people would think, oh, that's not a problem. Or they might really don't quite understand what righteousness is. So he has to tell you what it's not. And he's going to tell you a very good way. So don't get convicted with this, because this is just the way Paul wrote it up. We'll get to the good, but we have to hear what he says otherwise too. And some of the things he points out, what righteousness isn't, is kind of convicting. But also we look at Hebrews, before we get there, it says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, which is righteousness, without which no man will see the Lord. That's how important righteousness is. If you don't have this righteousness, this sanctification, you're not going to see God. So let's go through and find out what this righteousness is not, the gospel, and where we get it from God. Right? We need this righteousness of God. And he says in Romans 1:18, he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is revealed in them, for God revealed it to them. So there's no excuse. God's saying there's no excuse about his righteousness. People know what it is. And how does he do that? He says, for the invisible things of God since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divine nature, that they may be without excuse. If we go through Genesis, you'll see God's righteousness. Everything he did every day, it says, it was good. It was good. And at the end, when he made man, and gave him dominion, he said it was very good. There was nothing God didn't do right. It was good. It was righteous. And now we have man that doesn't want that righteousness. And we're seeing this part of man that doesn't. And he's not giving them an excuse, because we've got creation to prove God's righteousness. But they're ignoring that. He says they're professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools and traded the glory of an incorruptible God for the likeness of the image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed things and creepy things. In other words, man is looking at God like he's a man, and he's not. Therefore, God abandoned them to the lusts of their heart, to uncleanliness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. We know who that creature is. For this reason, God abandoned them to their degraded passions. For their women changed their natural function to that which is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving their natural function of the woman, burned in lust towards one another, men doing which is inappropriate with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. For they refuse to have God in their knowledge. This is willful. They refuse to have God in their knowledge. God abandoned them to a reprobate mind, to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all righteousness, unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil habits, secret slanders, backfighters, hate to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. And knowing the ordinance of God, they know who God is. They God put it in their heart. That those who practice such worthy of this, not only do the same, but also we have those who approve of those who practice these things. So we have a view of what God is of mankind, the unreprobated man and his refusal to come to God. His righteousness. So what else do we find out about his righteousness? God also says, therefore you are without excuse. He's talking about us. If we look at this, a reprobated man, we're without excuse, whoever we are, if we judge them. When you could judge another, you condemn yourself for that you do judge. You practice the same things. Now, we may not be practicing them now, but there was a time in our lives that we were reprobate also, the way we thought, maybe the way we acted, the way we even reacted with God was wrong. So he's saying, if we look at reprobate man and judge him for those things, we're in trouble ourselves. Because that man is reprobate because God turned him over to that. We're not turned over to that. So we got to be careful not to judge a reprobate man. All right. We can judge people in the church if they're doing things that are wrong, but the reprobate, we can't. They've been turned over to this lust. And he says, and this is just a warning for us. And you think this, oh man, who judged them that practice such things and do the same things, that you shall escape the judgment of God. Not that they were practicing these things, but it's easy for us to relate to the time we did. But there might be those out there that have that double standard that still judge others for the things they're doing. That's a danger. That's a bad place to be. He says, do you despise this goodness and bearance and long suffering, not knowing that goodness of God leads to repentance? You know, if I didn't have God's goodness in my life for repentance for all the evil I did, I would be still a reprobate man. I needed God's goodness to be where I'm at today. So I appreciate God's grace. But after the hardness of your heart, impenitent heart, treasure up for yourself wrath and day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. There is going to be a judgment of God, and he's going to judge the unrighteous. And we're finding out about the unrighteous now. All right. Don't be condemned about this. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. That's the path we're all on here. All right. It's a good path. But them that are factious, there's been a lot of factious people have come and go. and there still are a lot of factious out there, and that's be another topic we can talk about. And obey not the truth, but obey in righteousness shall be wrath and indignation. If there's anybody that's factious today that's going to hear this message, listen to this, there's going to be wrath and indignation. Please repent. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no respect of person with God. There is no respect of persons with God. That's a good thing that we should all know, because he works with every one of us. All right, he doesn't look at somebody by their gifts. He looks at what he's going to do with you in your life. All right, that's how God respects you. He loves everybody for who you are and what he's going to do for you. All right. And Proverbs says to confirm some of this, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are abominable: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked purposes, feet that are swift to mischief, and a false witness that utters lies, and sows discord among your brethren. That's a good description of the factious person. All right. If you feel like you're in there, repent. I don't think I see any of that here, but just that's a good definition of a factious person. But he also says, he goes on in Isaiah 58, he says, then you shall call on the Lord and the Lord will answer you. And you shall cry and he will hear and say, here I am. But he gives us this warning. He says, if you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the pointing of the finger, speak it wickedly. We don't want to point fingers, you know, judge others. He doesn't want that. He says, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then you shall light, the light will rise in the darkness, and your obscurity will be as noonday. You'll come out of this darkness, you know, if you're not, get out of this factious pointing the finger thing. Then the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in dry places and make strong your bones, and you will be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water will not fail. We know that's the overflowing of the Holy Spirit, right? So, but God's got to continue to tell us more about things. And it's not getting to the good yet, but we're going to get there. He's going to talk a little bit about the law, because many people feel like, well, I'm justified. Especially a lot of religious people, the things they can do, the things they keep, the sacraments, the Sabbaths, or going to church on certain days and, you know, shaking the preacher's hand or whatever, the tithe, whatever they're doing to feel justified. Their membership in a church. This all covers some of that. He says, for as in Romans 2:12, he says, for as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. So we're going to find out why the law is not good for a Christian. He says, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Well, okay, if you can do the law and be justified, yeah, you're great. But he's got some news about that. He says, for when the Gentiles have not a law, but do by nature things of the law, these not having a law are a law to themselves. But he goes on to say, in that they show the work of law written in their hearts, which God did, their conscience bearing witness with them, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or excusing them. In that day, God will judge the secrets of the men according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that becomes the problem, our thoughts. Because even though we might find some little thing we can do that we feel good about ourselves with, our thoughts are going to come back and accuse us if we did something wrong. And we can't get away from that accusation because, you know, it's true. But we need something else that's going to give us more than just the law. And then God goes on to say even more about this, the fallen nature of man and the conviction, because he wants you to know that you're not going to make it by the law. He goes on to say Romans 3:10, as is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. And that's what we need. We need the righteousness of God. God just said, you know, there's no one that is righteous. He says that there is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've all become unprofitable. There is no that one that does not good. No, not one as such as one. He goes on to say their throat is an open grave. And we can go through more of that. But the reality is nobody's righteous by the law. Not one. And he's got to tell people that to convince them of that so they can think, what do we do? God, what do I do? Well, let's have a little more of the law. What it means, he says, we know that whatever law says, it speaks to those who are under law, that every mouth may be closed. God put the law out there so he can make people realize, hey, you've got to be willing to come to me and realize that all the world is brought under the judgment of God by the law. He says, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Again, we got that knowledge of sin. We got that knowledge of good and evil that came to us from Adam and Eve. And our thoughts are going to condemn us when we use those, that thought of good and evil. Because we know nobody's righteous with the law. And he's got to tell us that. He's got to convince us of that. So we quit trying to live our lives by trying to keep some kind of law we think we can be justified in front of the Lord. It's not going to happen. God's not going to allow it. He's a righteous God. You just fail once and it's over, essentially. An example of a moral law God gave to Israel. All right. This was he gave this to me and I thought, wow, who would want to be under this? And one of it is he says, in Deuteronomy 5:12, he says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I get righteous, you know, righteousness, sanctification, purity, holy, as the Lord your God commanded. All right, there's a law. The law Israel had to keep. What happened? In Numbers 15:12, he says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they didn't know what to do. And they that found him gathering the sticks, brought him to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. And I thought, okay. They put him in custody, put him in jail, held him in a ward because it had not been declared what should be done to him yet. You know, the Lord didn't give him. He just said, keep Sabbath holy. He didn't say what to do about something that broke it. So they brought it to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, that man shall be put to death. And all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And so all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones as the Lord commanded. How many people here want to keep the law? I don't. And that's just from picking up sticks on a Sabbath day. Does that drive home the point of the law? I hope so. Okay, we're done with the law. Thank God. Now we're going to go to Romans 3:21. And Paul says, but now apart or from or without the law, there's still a righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All right, we can have a righteousness of God without the law. That's what we need. God said, we're not going to see him without being sanctified. That's righteousness of God. But he said, we can do this. There's something else God did for us. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all them that believe, there is no distinction. There's no respecter of persons here. That's wonderful. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, boy, you just convinced us of that, Lord. We all have sinned. We've fallen short. But we've been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for whom God set forth, which is Jesus, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness, God's righteousness, because of a passing over of prior sins done before, in the forbearance or the tolerance of grace of God. There's some words here that he just went through real quick. Righteousness, faith, justified, redemption, propitiation. Let's find out what he's talking about. And again, what also happens here is in Romans, Hebrews 9:14, we get this promise of the blood of Christ. He says, much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish, cleanse your conscience from dead works, from serving the living God. In other words, not only do we get all this benefit of Jesus through the gospel of the righteousness of God, it cleanses us from our evil works. Our conscience gets cleansed. Remember I talked about the thoughts we got, knowing of good and evil, and we go back and visit that? No. God's, the blood of Christ cleanses our thoughts too. He cleanses our conscience. He wipes it away, right? This is the promise of the gospel we got. Look at the gospel and look how good it is compared to the law. I talked about those five works. Of course, we already talked about righteousness. It's being innocent. It's holy. It's sanctification, right? Righteousness is sanctification. But we talked about faith. Now, this faith thing is very important. He brought that out at the very beginning. The faith in the gospel is delivered faith by faith. We do have an understanding that faith is assurance of things hoped for, conviction is not seen. It says that in Romans, Hebrews 11, 1. But what is faith? It's a believing what the word says. It's believing what God gave you in the gospel. It's believing the promise of God. That's what we have faith for. Right? That's faith. Justified. When he says you're justified, you're considered to be righteous. You're rendered righteous at that point. It's just like you've never sinned. That's what justified is. It's just as if you've never sinned. You're justified. It's like you've never sinned. Redemption, you mentioned that. That's release from a ransom, or it's payment in full for a debt that we owe. Jesus Christ paid that debt, that redemption. And it was paid in this intent. Not only did he pay the price, he paid it in the sense of he was going to buy you as a slave, which were sold under sin, to set you free from being a slave, no longer under sin. That's where redemption was paid, not just to pay the price for your sin, but to set you free so you wouldn't have to sin anymore. That's what the redemption did. And now we have this propitiation. Initially, we all need this propitiation. We still need propitiation. It's the blood covering of Jesus on our life. It's called atonement in the Old Testament too. But what does that do? It appeases God's wrath. So we're no longer under God's wrath. Now we have the covering of Jesus on us. And to that, it's also another word we'll follow here shortly. It's called, we get this reconciliation from this propitiation, this blood covering. And we'll go into that a little bit more down the road. And it says in Romans 2, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Him, which is Jesus Christ, knew no sin. You know, when I looked that up, what is it to be know or knew? Jesus didn't know sin. He knew no sin. It, or the Jewish idiom of knew, it goes into a figurative meaning of that word, what he meant by new. And new is, in a sense, they say, is the relationship a man and a woman have in marriage. They know each other, that sexual relationship, that closeness of knowing. We know that closeness of sin in our life. We've had that knowing, that knowledge. We have that desire for it. Jesus didn't have any of that knowledge. He didn't know. He didn't have that intimacy with sin. He was free of sin. He didn't have that knowledge. He did not fall into sin. He didn't have any of that draw him into that. We were, he did not. So it gives you an idea of what it means. He knew no sin. He did not have any intimacy with any sin. He says it continues here, but now without the law, the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteous God through faith in Jesus Christ for all them that believe. There is no distinction. And to demonstrate the righteousness of his present time, that he might himself be the just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus Christ. Where then is the glorying? In other words, if you were under the law, you kept something, you could glory about it, but you can't glory under righteousness of faith through Jesus Christ, because it's all given to you freely, because it's saying you can't glory in what you can't do. So Paul's saying, where can you glory in this? No, you have no glory. It's excluded. He says, by what manner of law can you glory in law? No. No. Or works? No. But by the law of faith, that's what we have. We glory at the faith that God gave us to be justified freely by his righteousness. That's our glory. It's glorying in that, not by what we can do by works. He says, therefore, consider that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. All right, that's how we're justified, without the law. Jeremiah says in 31, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with houses, or with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant made with the fathers, the law, on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. And God really, they broke his covenant. All right? He made a covenant. They broke it. It was the law. And it's righteousness. That's why it's God's righteousness. And they couldn't keep it. Although I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I'll put my law on their inward parts, and in their heart I'll write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man to his neighbor, every man to his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. James says, by this law, to him that knows it is good and does it not, to him it is sin. That's the law he puts in us now. Not the laws we have in the old covenant. It's what he puts in your heart to say, this is wrong or this is right. Right? That's what we're judged. That's how we know to walk with the Lord. He guides us that way now. Again, remember, he cleanses your heart. He cleanses your conscience by his blood, right? For doing dead works. Don't look back at your past. Don't let your conscience convict you. Let the blood cleanse you of that. All right? If you put something in your heart, you didn't keep it, confess it, and let the blood cleanse it. All right. He continues, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God from the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access. Now we have this access by faith to God. We couldn't have that before under the law. We could only access God after we had a sacrifice, and then we had this temporary peace or place we could be with God for a short time under the law. But then shortly after that, we walk away, and it wouldn't take long. We probably broke another law. So we have another sacrifice. They have another sacrifice. They have another sacrifice to keep this continual peace with God. But guess what? That's done. We have this peace with God all the time now, this grace to go to God all the time now through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of this, we rejoice in the hope that of the glory of God. We're going to have this glory also. We have this glory by faith. We're going to have it by manifestation. And not only so, we rejoice in our tribulations. Oh, yeah, I had to say that word, didn't I? Tribulation. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now, let's find out why he gives us tribulation. Knowing that tribulation brings steadfastness. What's that mean? It's perseverance and endurance in our faith. God has to do this for us. He has to give us this time of trial to make us have a perseverance attitude, an enduring attitude that we're going to continue on this path. Otherwise, if we're not tested, it would take much for us to fall away. So he has to keep on putting us through these trials and tribulations to make us stay the course, to build our faith and keep moving forward. And he says, and steadfastness, approvingness, which is a tried, proven character. We're giving our character built more and more in the image of Jesus Christ today through these tribulations. And through approvingness, hope. It just gives us our hope that we know we're on the right path and God's with us, helping us through these trials. He's developing our soul. Not only our spirit, he's developing our soul. So we have this eternal life. That's why we have these trials, to give us that proven character. And he does that by the blood. First, we get the blood covering, which covers us for all our things, the atonement. But through the blood, he's with us through these trials, and we get the blood cleansing in our life, which pushes us forward into this holiness character we're getting through God. happen all at once, but we do get this cleansing through the gospel by faith. And he says, hope puts not to shame because the love of God has been shed in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. So God gives us his love in our hearts too. That's the gospel. That's what he's doing for us. He does it through the Holy Spirit. We can claim that too. We've got that by the gospel. That's what the good news did. For while we were weak, in other words, while we were still sinful in our sinful nature in the flesh, while we were weak, in that due season, Christ died for the ungodly. He had to die for ungodly people because there was no godly person around. There was none. None were righteous. So God, Jesus died for us. We qualified. That's what he did it for. God commends his own towards us that while Lord towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were still sinners. Even before you and I were born, he died for us. That's a lovely experience. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. In other words, through him, Jesus. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled. I told you we're getting to that word reconciled. It's a good word. To God through the death of his son. And much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. Paul likes this word, reconciliation. It's a good word. He said it again in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things are past, or carnal life are passed away. Behold, that all our life has become new. All things are of God, who reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not reckoning or not accounting to them their trespasses, not even looking at their sin, having committed to us the word of reconciliation. All right, David covers this word of reconciliation, reconciled. What is it to be reconciled? It's catalesso. We've all heard this. That exchange happened in our life, Christ's life for our life at the cross. And not only was it to exchange his life for our life, it was also to change us to his life. So not only do we get reconciled to the exchange at the cross, he changed us. He was able to, by his power, by his grace, through God, through Jesus Christ, to change us into him, the righteousness of God. God changed us at the gospel, at the cross. Galatians says, I, Paul, through the law, died to the law. He knew it wasn't going to work with him. He said that I might live to God. How did he die to the law? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ living within me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Paul understood grace. He understood the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of it. And he was a very good orator, and he gave us great ways to understand what the grace of God is through Romans and through other books he's written. And now we're going to go back and we're going to look at sin a little bit more, just briefly. And then we have to, because there's some that think, oh, I got God's grace, I'm good. Hey, you know what? I just confessed my sin, it's over. Well, again, Paul wants to remind us about this sin thing and warn us a little bit. He says in Romans, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, does grace just keep on going and going forever? And doesn't matter if I sin or not. He says, no, God forbid. We who died to sin, how should we live any longer in it? In other words, you died to sin. Your old man stayed under that water. And he's going to talk about that a little bit. He says, or are you ignorant that all we were baptized in Christ, what? Went down in the water. We're baptized into his death. We died with Christ when we went under that water. It's to show us what happened in baptism, to demonstrate what happened when we baptized. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him through baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. So when we went down in that water, we died. That old man was dead with Christ. And we were raised new in Christ. That old man stayed there under the water. He stayed dead. If he stayed dead, we're no longer in sin. He doesn't want you to go back to that. He says, for if we become united with him in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he has died, is justified from sin. And how can we be in bondage to sin? Well, he set us free. He paid the price. Remember the redemption price? He paid that price to set us free from the bondage of sin. So we're no longer in bondage. He paid that price. The bondage was we were sold under sin, but he paid the price and set us free. We're no longer under sin. We're no longer a bond servant to sin. It says, but if we die with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no more has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to God. We're doing that. We're living our lives to God. He says, therefore, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling you. You're no longer a bondservant to sin. You're alive in Christ. He says, let sin, therefore, not reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. You have that power over sin. Neither present your members as sins as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law. The law is you're going to fail. You know that. You're not under the law. You're under the grace of God. If you go back under the law, you're going to sin. If you stay in the grace of God, you're not going to sin. He's going to give you the power to overcome. But you are under grace. What then shall we say? Because we are not in our law, but under grace. He says, what shall we say? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? He says, God forbid. He's going to warn you why. Because you know that to whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants are whom you obey, or the sin of death or obedience to righteousness. Why does that happen? Because if you feed the old man, he's going to get stronger and he's going to overcome your spirit man and you're going to fall into sin. You're going to fall back in that sin nature. You don't want to feed that sin nature, he's saying. It's going to overcome your spiritual man. So we'll find a way around that here too here in a minute. So he's warning you to stay away from sin. All right? Avoid it. He says, but thanks be to God, whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient to your heart to that form of teaching where you were delivered. And being made free from sin, he told you the redemption happened. You're being freed from sin. You're a servant, a bondservant of sin. But once that redemption happened, he set you free. You're no longer a bondservant of sin. You're being made free from sin. You became servants of righteousness. You have the righteousness of God now. I speak after a manner of men because of the infirmity. He means weakness of your flesh. Well, we still have this flesh nature. It's a weakness. He has to speak in a manner of men. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, and even so, now present your members or your body as a servant to righteousness, to sanctification. We have that power. We have that right through the gospel. We can do this. And we claim it by our right through Jesus Christ. Not because we're going to do it, because he's going to do it for us. That's the grace, all right? It's not a law. This is a law of grace, not a law. You better do this. This is, I'm going to you, God, because you said I can. And I believe that through Jesus Christ, you're going to do this for me. All right. That's the grace we got. So it says, for when you were servant of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You bet. I remember those days. What fruit had you at that time in the things that you are now ashamed? Well, if you look back long enough, you can be ashamed. But remember, your conscience was cleansed by the blood of Christ. Don't let it bring you back into bondage. You were cleansed. Claim that blood to clean your mind and your heart too. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have fruits of sanctification, which is justification of righteousness, and the end is eternal life. Why? Because now our soul is being brought into the image of Jesus Christ. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. So what did we learn? We learned the gospel is the power of God. It's a power of God. This is the same power God used to create the world. This is the power of God for our salvation. To all those that believe. It's the gospel is a righteousness of God from faith to faith. The gospel says the righteous shall live by faith. All right. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. No one is righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But now, God himself, being just and justifying him that has faith in Jesus Christ. We've been justified through the Father, through Jesus Christ. It says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father. He loves us. Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. God was in Christ doing this. That's how important it was to God. Even though he understands righteousness and he can't be around anybody that's not, he was in Christ making us righteous so we could be with him. That's how important righteousness is to God. He wants us to be that, have that righteousness, and he's in Christ and doing it through Christ to us to bring us into the righteousness of God. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. We're no longer bond servants of sin. We've been set free. And as servants to God, now you have fruit of sanctification, and the end is going to be our eternal life. Where is the glorying? We have none. Where is our glory? It's in the gospel. We don't have it by the law. No, we have it by the law of faith. Praise be to God. Now, I talked to you briefly about, what if you sin? What happens? What do we do about that? John says in 1:5, and this is a message which I wrote, and we heard from him and announced to you that God is light and in him is no darkness. Praise the Lord. But it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's walking in darkness? It's the old man. It's a sin nature. It's sin. All right. It says, but if we walk in the light, is he in the light? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. How are we walking in light? We're hearing the good news right now. We're walking in this light. We're embracing it. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's how simple it is, folks. If we fail, if we fall, or something we're doing wrong, or we're even doing right wrong now, or God brings it to our attention, we just confess our sin. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We have that promise from God. And we're right back, right standing with God. We have the righteousness of God. We are justified with God. We have oneness with God. We're not under his wrath. So that's what we have. I want you to know that we have that forgiveness of our sins, even if beyond initial forgiveness, if we fail somewhere up the road. And we need righteousness by faith every day, not just one day, not one time. Every day we pick up the gospel, we need that righteousness by faith through Jesus Christ. And we get to confess our sin freely and openly every day if we have any. Not that we're going to sin, but we can, and we get that righteousness of faith through Jesus Christ. Then again, it doesn't go away. All right. Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be our righteousness of God, of you, Father, so that we can have eternal life with you. Continue to work in our hearts, continue to sanctify us, continue to bring us in the image of Jesus Christ, continue to strengthen us, renew us, renew our faith. Give us more faith, Lord. Give us more faith. All we got to do is ask, and we're asking for it, Father. And continue. And you said we such a lovely, lovely thing. All we do is confess our sin and we're forgiven. And we got the justification and the propitiation and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God back. Thank you, Father, for that gospel, that great news, the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Father. And continue to give us the fullness of the Holy Spirit so you walk in this sanctification, this new righteousness of God every day, Father. Amen. That's my message.
All right. That's a good one, too. Thank you, Dave. All right. Has anybody got any questions? Anybody got any answers? Well, he must have done a real good job. Praise God forever.
Hallelujah. Oh, don't. Yeah, if you give glory to God. I would say that too. So, yeah. Thank you.
All right, Lord, we thank you for working through day. How's that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. That was really good. I was just sitting here just listening to you, you know, quote all the scriptures, read the scriptures, and I was really blessed by it. And one of the things that helps me when the enemy tries to accuse me or get me looking at my past or, you know, or why is this still happening or this or that. And, you know, I just keep coming back to the gospel, you know, I just keep reminding the devil of the gospel. It's like, it's not by my works. It's by the grace of God am I saved. It doesn't matter what it is. And, you know, we need to remind ourselves that we are justified by faith or counted righteous by faith, because it's never going to be in our power, strength, or ability, or getting it all right every time. You know, he doesn't want us to try to be perfect. He wants to rest in what he already did. So, praise the Lord. Thanks for sharing. It was really good.
Yeah, we can believe God's going to make us righteous. We can believe that. And we don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. We just have faith for it. Don't worry about what you're looking. Don't look at yourself now, because that's not faith. Faith is calling the things that are not as though they were. So we're calling things that are not as though they were. Don't look at yourself. Look at Jesus, and he's going to make it happen. Amen.
All right, go ahead, Pat.
Thank you, Dave. I always love listening to Romans. A couple of the scriptures that popped out to me when you were talking are the ones you, I think you started off with, and that was Romans 1:16. And then the one that you ended up with in Romans 6:4, and I think just the only thing that kind of hit me that I just wanted to bring up, and that is in Romans 6:4, when you're reading, it says, "We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." And then if you go down a few verses there, it says that he crucified the old man, the body of sin, that it might be done away with, so that we should no longer live in the bondage of sin. And those three words, might, should, or two words, indicate that there's something associated with those words that includes our one's personal response or something that we need to do. There's something in there when it says might, that it might be done. It's not talking about God might do it. God has already done it, but there's an indication that there's something that depends upon us for something. And as he took us through Romans and you were talking about the law and everything, already proved that there is something, that there's nothing that we can do. So the thing that is left of it is the question of, well, what is it that we can do? And that, what is it that we can do? It goes right back to the very first word that you brought in Romans 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." And it dawned on me a long time ago, as the Lord was revealing this scripture to me, that he made the gospel and the truth so applicable and obtainable that anyone and everyone had the same ability to enter into Christ and enter into his gospel, because it only took one thing, and that's believing. The avenue of believing. A person can be crippled, they can be in the hospital, sick, dying, ready to die, they can be blind, they can not hear, they can be deaf, they can be all of the things possible in man's life, but every person has the ability to believe, and nobody can stop a person from believing. And so it just dawned on me, I mean, I'm just making that application of what you taught tonight, that we're back to the place where the only thing that we can do is believe what we've been given. And that's the gospel. That's what God has done for us. So thanks for the reminder. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Don't dwell in the past. Look, get your eyes focused on Jesus and run after him.
Well, I thought maybe we'd have an altar call.
All right.
Already there, Dave.
Yeah. Amen. Has anybody got anything else?
I'd like to thank everybody, because I knew I was going to be a little long. And I told Michael it might be a little long, and I cut a lot out of this. So you're lucky you didn't. I was going to take you through Genesis, and I thank the Lord that got a lot of that stuff gone, you know. But anyways, thank you for being so patient.
Wait, there's more, Greg said. Okay. All right, Dave. No, that was good. Thank you so much for it. Who's up next? Is that you, Patrick? You up next? Next week or next time? Next week? Or is next week?
I'm the next victim.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a lot of standard behind you there that you can go with. It'll be good. No, it's not either. We got two more Thursdays in there. I think next week is the 24th, and then the 31st is the last Thursday. So we'll be listening to Patrick next week, which will be excellent. Praise God. 30 minutes, Patrick. I'm going to hit the mute button at 30 minutes.
I'm counting on it.
Oh, boy. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests or anything before we close out tonight? We got 4 minutes. Yeah, Claire.
I have a very strange prayer request, but I think it's a timely one because of what Dave was sharing. There are three things that the enemy routinely plagues me with. One is I was ugly to someone when I was 17 in the schoolyard, and I said something offhand, and the poor little kid was sitting right there. And I felt so bad, and I went and I said sorry to her, and I humbled myself. But it plagues me. Like I've waged war against this thing. I've said to the enemy, "You cannot come against me." I already said sorry to her, like when it happened, when I was 17. But he brings it to me, and I get this feeling in my whole body of just like I want to vomit because I feel so bad. And the other thing is, my aunt was here 2 years ago, 2020, and I slammed her finger in the car door and I said sorry immediately, but it just comes into my brain and I feel bad about it. And I said sorry to her, obviously, like who wouldn't say sorry for slamming someone's finger in a car door? And, you know, we wrapped it up and I prayed for it. And, you know, like, but these things just come to me all the time, and I rebuke them and I say to the Lord, I'm not going to take this. I've laid it at your feet. And the enemy just keeps on bringing it to me. And I mean, look, my life is a lot more sinful than those things, just so that you all know, like, it's not that, you know, that's the only thing I'm dealing with, but I'm just saying these are the things that the Lord allows me to not like, I'm struggling to overcome it. And it makes me feel so like I sweat about it. And I just feel I have a physical reaction, and these thoughts come in quite a few times during the day. And they're all dealt with and resolved, and I know the Lord's forgiven me for them. So can you just stand with me in faith that these things are going to go from my remembrance? The Lord has taken them away as far as what the East is from the West, and I have repented, and I know I'm forgiven, and there is nothing that can separate me from the Lord, especially not these things that have already been dealt with. So I just rebuke the enemy for trying to get me into the past and trying to get me into my flesh and trying to create some kind of reaction where I'm spurned towards guilt or shame, because I will not take those. I only take the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just lift up Claire to you. We have dominion over this earth. You have given it to us. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of condemnation to go from her. In Jesus' name, you will not come back upon her and try to put it back on her again. In the name of Jesus, we're not playing here. In the name of Jesus, you go, leave her, and don't come back. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers her, covers her mind, covers her body, covers everything on her, and you have to leave her alone. And as Lester Summerall said, we don't mean maybe. We're talking about right now. And you will not come back. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you and command you by the power and the blood of Jesus never to come back and accuse her. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, you know, before I even came on today, even from this morning till this evening and different things, you know, the Lord, the enemy was attacking me in my mind because, you know, I was going to have this teaching tonight. And so, just little things happen along the way. And I just remember David, and it's kind of helpful for me a little bit. And it put perspective because I knew it was the enemy. You know, it's the enemy because it's not you. All of a sudden you're getting these weird thoughts out of nowhere. It's like, why am I thinking about this stuff? Where did that come from? you know, the birds can fly over your head. But David said, you don't have to let them make a nest in your head, on your head. You know, in other words, we don't have to let that take root. We can say, no, you're done. I know better. I know this is the enemy. And as much as it plagues us and drops, can drag us down depending upon where we're at in life at the point, you know, if we're kind of a little overwhelmed. Part of this too is, I think, is the Lord allowing us to go through these trials so we can take the victory. We know that we have the victory. And so that the Satan can't have dominion over our life. And this is part of the battle. Not that I'm saying we have to enjoy that, but I'm just saying that is also part of the battle where we're overcoming that part of Satan. Because, you know, he's going to be there whispering to us all the time. If he can do it, if he thinks he can get us, he's not going to stop. But I think once he realizes that part of the battle is lost, and even though that some of those things come in my head, I know it's not me. I know it's Satan. I know that's where it's coming from. And I already know that, you know what? I beat this. It's not me. I'm even given a thought about consciousness, about guilt. Why should I? It's not me. It's not even the old man. The old man's not part of that anymore because I know I got control of him. So I know it's a darn well. This is Satan. This is demons. And they're nothing. You know, they're going to be good cordwood. They're going to be something that's going to really light hell up when they get down there and go and be put on fire. That's what they're going to be worth. And that's what they need to be reminded of. Hey, you know what? You're going to make a really nice flame. So you're not under that. Just realize that. That's all I could say.
Let me say one thing about these attacks that are coming on you. You don't have to allow them, because God himself gave us the authority, just like you've been doing, Claire. And when we need a little backup, this is where we do it, right here. And you are now cleansed of that in Jesus' name. Now, I cast down any kind of witchcraft that's coming against Claire. I cast it down as null and void. You will not do this anymore. We bind it. And what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the tools to fight these battles that come up in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Judy. It's done, girl. It's done.
Amen. I just add that, you know, the enemy tries to bring up my past to, you know, things before I was saved, you know, like going back to your high school, you know, days, elementary days or whatever, but, you know, he tries to put that stuff on you, but it's like, I didn't know any better then, you know, he's tricky, you know, but that feeling of guilt has tried to come on me several times too. And just, you know, it's like, oh, you just feel so rotten about it. And then it's like you come to yourself and it's like, wait a minute, no, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the blood of Jesus paid for all of that, and it doesn't exist. And if I could change what I did, I would, but that's impossible, you know. So that's where the gospel comes in, you know. I can't. That's why Jesus died for me, because I was such a rotten person before I got saved. You know, the flesh is rotten to the core, you know, but he's just sneaky, and we got to be on guard and keep our armor on. And amen, just crush him under our feet. He's nothing. He's a liar.
First Corinthians 3:18. I don't guess anybody in here knows that, do they? That's a strange one. But that's what we need to be doing, looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. Devil, you see who I am, glory to God, and you want to come in here and try to put that on me? You got to be the dumbest thing on God's creation here. Now get in Jesus' name. That's it, because we know who we are. Praise God.
Yep. Well, you're justified, you're glorified, you're the righteousness of God. You've been redeemed.
Right. Amen. It's a really good deal. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful message that was given out today, tonight. We ask, Lord, that people will take it here. And the people that are listed, Lord, that it's just going to be a blessing to everybody. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, bless us all tonight with a good night's sleep. And those that don't have sleep yet, bless the rest of their day with great sunshine and lollipops and roses and all those good things. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Debbie, you have a great trip. Lord, take her there safely and bring her back home safely. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise it's going to be good.
Amen. Hi, Vanita. You look different on TV than you do in person.
In what way?
No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding. All right. Y'all be blessed.